In the early church, most new converts were adults. And since adults need to be instructed in the Christian faith before they can be baptized, the early church set Lent as a time for such instruction. That was the normal practice. Actually, some Christians in the early church went 3 years of instruction. But beginning with the Ash Wednesday right on through until Easter Eve, the instruction would happen. And then on Easter Eve, the evening before Easter, they would be received into the church by holy baptism. Now, when the people who set the Sunday readings set new readings, oh, a number of years ago, they had this in mind for this season of Lent: water and baptism. The lessons often focus on water, because this was the season they were preparing people for baptism. You saw it in today's gospel. One must be born, Jesus said to Nicodemus, of water and the Spirit. That was what he told Nicodemus when he came to him by night. Now, next Sunday, the gospel will be the story of the woman at the well. Remember the woman who had several husbands? She came to draw water at the well, brought her jug with her. And Jesus said, you drink this water, you'll be thirsty again, but I can give you living water. And then Jesus told her all her life. She went back to the town. You know, she left her jug there at the well. Went back to the town and told the people, I think I found the Messiah. And they came out to meet Jesus. The following Sunday, the story is about a man who was born blind. And Jesus put mud in his eyes and told him, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he did, blindness was healed. So you see, we will have these water stories preparing us for maybe a baptism on Easter Eve. Let me go back to the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus said to Nicodemus, according to the translation you read, you must be born again. Now, the Greek word that is used for again is the word anothen. Anothen can also mean from top or from above. For example, when Jesus was crucified, remember, they divided his garments, but for his cloak, they cast lots. Why? Because it said that it had no seam from anothen to bottom. It would have made no sense to say from again to bottom, from top to bottom. And after Jesus died and the curtain of the temple was ripped, it's said it was ripped from anothen, from top to bottom. And so Nicodemus felt Jesus was talking about a physical birth. How can I enter my mother's womb again? But I think Jesus had in mind, you must be born from above. He goes on to say, you must be born with water and the Spirit. Now, the water could mean one of two things. It could mean the waters that break in a birth, physical birth. It could also mean baptism. But the key word there is Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit. And Jesus comes back to that in his conversation with Nicodemus, saying how the wind blows where it will, but the Spirit is the one that causes action. Then Jesus tells Nicodemus a verse from the Old Testament. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that all who believe in him have eternal life. He's talking about a story in the Old Testament where the people were doing what they did the whole time they were in the wilderness. They complained. They complained about God. They complained to God. And finally God said, I've had it with you people. And he sent poisonous snakes to bite them. Well, then they got scared. They said, Moses, get God to get rid of these snakes. And God told Moses, make a bronze serpent, put it up on a pole, and anyone who looks up to the bronze serpent will be healed. Well, I want you to think about this. Suppose there are snakes crawling around at your feet, and you're told, look up. It takes some faith to look up when snakes are crawling around at your feet. But then Jesus applies this in that gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You see, when Jesus was lifted up on the cross, he paid the punishment of our sin so that we could be covered with forgiveness. Now, I served a church in Richmond, Virginia for 30 years. When I arrived at the church, it was a very attractive church, except it had the ugliest baptismal font I've ever seen. After the person who gave it died, I began to say, you know, I wish we could get a much more attractive baptismal font. Well, I had a part-time assistant pastor, and he died. And his widow took my words very seriously. She started to talk to people who would make things for the church. And she finally came to me and said, I think I found the craftsman I want to make the baptismal font. Now, he's Jewish, but I want you to talk to him. So I met this Jewish craftsman, and he said to me, I went to the library and took out a number of books about Lutheranism and read in those books what you Lutherans believe about baptism, and here's what I want to do. I want to take a piece of burl. Now, burl is from a diseased part of a tree. It's pretty ugly looking, isn't it? He said, I want to take a piece of burl. And here is the actual piece of burl he got. It's pretty ugly, too. He said, reason I want to do this is you Lutherans believe that you have a disease called sin. And because you have that disease of sin, you show actual sins. Well, burl is from a diseased part of the tree, and it has a lot of flaws in it. But in baptism, you Lutherans say, you are covered with the righteousness of Christ. You look beautiful in the eyes of God. So I want to take this burl and turn it into something that is beautiful. Before we dedicated this baptismal font, the craftsman asked me if he could put it in a craft show. And my wife and I went down to the craft show. She didn't know about this baptismal font. She came around the corner and saw this font. She said, now that's a good-looking baptismal font like we should have. And I said, look at the bottom. Commission for Trinity Lutheran Church. It's our part. That's what happens to us in baptism. We have the disease of sin. We show the flaws of sin. But what happens is God covers those flaws with Christ's righteousness. Now, I want to go back to Nicodemus. In our gospel, it seems as though Nicodemus is kind of dull. But Jesus said, the Spirit will give you life. And what happened was, in the 8th chapter of John, when the Jewish council, which Nicodemus was part of, started to accuse Jesus, Nicodemus stood up for him. And the council criticized. Then, when Jesus died, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea were the ones who took his body and buried him. That took courage, because I'm certain that when the Jewish council heard what Nicodemus had done, he would have been thrown off that council. When the Spirit comes into our life, to assure us of the forgiveness we have in Jesus Christ, we grow in faith and grow in courage. And that is my prayer for you. Realize you have a disease of sin. You show the flaws of sin. But God makes you look beautiful as he judges you and welcomes you to eternal life. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.